Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ascension actually doesn't fall on a Sunday. Ascension falls this coming Thursday, so I think it's appropriate we sandwich a couple songs between Ascension Sunday, this sixth Sunday of after Easter, and the next Sunday, which is, following Ascension. So I just think it's appropriate that we consider the magnitude of what transpired in that transition between the appearances of the Lord after his resurrection and that his ascension, as we will celebrate on Thursday, because it's a transition of the church. As we even look at that transition in our lives, the church can be somewhat different from generation to generation. But the words of the gospel, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the story of the gospel being spread is consistent. And it transcends the times that change. As we know, the world does not stay the same from the times the Lord was here in ancient Palestine, even today. The epistle text for the sixth Sunday after Easter is found in the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 10 begins in verse 34 and concludes with verse 48. As Peter even had to come to recognize this transition that takes place in his life, in his mind, and how he saw and how he thought and how he reacted to people that were not of his kind. Acts chapter 10 beginning with verse 34, the following in Jesus' name. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us which did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that now on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then prayed they him to stay or to tarry with them certain days. Amen. We have this ongoing story of the gospel being spread. As we know, we have several Sundays from the resurrection to the ascension where we consider the appearances of Jesus Christ and the impact it had upon them as they transitioned from a gospel for the Jews only to a gospel for all of humankind. It's at lost on one hand, being found on the other. As those who seek then are given the ability to find. And more importantly, in my mind, is this powerful work of God's Spirit among his people. As we know, the day of Pentecost will come the Sunday of Pentecost when we celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit upon all that were there. Upon the 3,000 and upon those that heard, it was a miracle of language where they will be able to understand in the language that they would be able, that they knew. And so we have this necessary conversion of man that is required or the part of this whole picture. Now we have to go back a bit to the beginning of chapter 10 to understand who Peter was speaking to as he began in verse 34. And so verse 1 of chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea Philippi to be more exact. His name was Cornelius. He was an Italian soldier, part of a regiment that was stationed in Philippi. Because Caesarea Philippi was a Roman garrison that was there to maintain order, to provide suppression of rebellion, to provide for the peace in Palestine as they would be governed by Rome. But Cornelius was known to be, as verse 2 tells us, a devout man, one that feared, reverenced God, with his house, gave to the people, gave much alms, King James translation, to the people, and prayed to God always. He was seeking. He wasn't Jewish. He was a Gentile. He was Italian in ethnicity. And his prayers were answered because he was seeking, he wanted to find. Remember the lost and found, the seeking and find continuum. And he was told in verse 5 that his prayers were answered. He was to send men to Joppa and call for Peter, Simon Peter. What do we do when we're told something? Do we always respond in the affirmative? Probably not. But something spiritual, we are to follow through and respond to that directive or that command. And this was a spiritual direction to him to be able to find because he was seeking. And so he called his household servants in verse 7. And a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually said, "Hey, go to Joppa and find out what's going on." Meanwhile, in a parallel path, you've got Cornelius in one venue in Caesarea Philippi, being prepared for his meeting with Peter. And meanwhile, you have Peter, who went on his housetop to pray about the sixth hour, so that makes it about noon. And he was hungry and was given a vision that which previously had been characterized as unclean no longer was such. Because verses 11 through 16, this happened. What was Peter's reaction to that vision or to that perspective? Verse 17, Peter doubted. American said he was perplexed. You see, some things are so ingrained in how we see things that when something is given that is of a different perspective, we might be perplexed. We might be confused. We might doubt. That's in our human makeup to not be sure. Oftentimes it takes something of a confirmation from someone else to make us coalesce our thinking and to have more clarity and maybe to agree with that which previously seemed contrary to the way we think. Well, meanwhile, Cornelius's entourage of household servants, two servants and a soldier, had made their way to Joppa and to Peter's house. So we have these things coming together. You got two parallel paths. And suddenly it converges and comes to fruition. And so they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, verse 18, lodged there. There's three men that are looking for you. Boom, the light's on. This is where Peter's thinking is clarified, where his perspective is honed, and where he comes to understand, as we know, that the gospel is available to all. And so they tell him the story of their master, their friend Cornelius. And so they tell about Cornelius, the centurion, verse 22, a good man, just man, one that fears, reverence God, a good report among all nations of Jews, was told to come to see you. Now, Peter could have viewed this as having to go in harm's way, much as we know a lot of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the history of the Acts of the Apostles. Certainly makes one concerned for where they might go. But you know, as Peter was led by the Spirit and by these converging events, he no longer was afraid of doing that, because he knew something miraculous was taking place. There's, you know, you receive, sometimes when you're put in hard way, there's a peace and a calm because you know that's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And that's what was taking place here. It was the right thing for Peter to do in this one example regarding Cornelius. Peter was waiting for them. That was important. Note in verse 24, it wasn't just Cornelius waiting for them, but it tells us he had called together his relatives and his near friends. If something's important to us, oftentimes we don't want that just to stay within our own realm of thinking or something that, you know, we keep to ourselves. We want to share it. Right? We want to share it with others. We want others to understand. Others to come to believe, others to come to faith when it comes down to salvation. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius met him, fell down, and worshipped. Peter says, I'm only a man. Stand up. Let's talk. Let's commune together. Let's be reconciled. Let's discuss what God has shown me and shown you. And so they shared stories of what had been transpiring in these two parallel paths before suddenly it connects and converges to one. And so our text, with all this background, begins with Cornelius and his family, his kinsmen and friends, hearing this sermon by Peter. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no longer a respecter of persons. He has interwoven fabric that is now taking place with Peter and with Cornelius and beyond. And beyond. It takes events like this to open our eyes even today. Maybe in a small way. Maybe in a big way, but still has to sometimes work that way in our lives. And see, we have Cornelius and Peter interwoven throughout this entire chapter. But the bottom line is really that there's an acceptance of those who were not Jewish. Remember, the Great Commission in the last chapter of Matthew is, you know, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the world. And we are, in part, uttermost parts of the world. Right? That's just the reality of who we are and where we've come from. But see, it was so ingrained in Peter, it's hard to change a perspective because our minds are somewhat locked in on a way of thinking. Cornelius, as an Italian soldier centurion, was willing to follow Jewish religious practices in prayer and giving to those in need and in worship of the one eternal God. Devout and God-fearing, revelation through angels, his prayers were heard. Go to Joppa. But God used both men to show each other something. Right? He used Cornelius to show Peter that God works in the lives and the hearts, in the minds, in the spirit of those who are not Jewish. And he used Peter to show to Cornelius the way of salvation, how to turn from basically heathenism, which was part of Roman mythology as we know it, even today's curriculum and educational practices, to following the living God. There are the Peter's need to know. Salvation was for the Gentiles and for all the Jews, as well as the Jews, and for Cornelius to know the way of salvation and to receive the word and the spirit. And so Peter opened his mouth and said. And the first line is really the revelation to Peter that God is no longer a respecter of persons or of ethnicity. But in every nation or every ethnicity, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable, is accepted with him. It began in Israel. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ, that word which I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. That began with the initiation in the baptism of John of Jesus Christ. I mean, Peter was so ingrained in the Levitical practices, which he should have been, of what's clean and what's unclean. It had to be changed. His mind had to be given a perspective that all no longer things which were ingrained in their observation of the law, no longer necessary. Evidence and circumstances come together. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, verse 38, went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of these synopses. You know, just kind of put it in some type of a catalog outline form. One of the first things I can remember from sixth grade going into junior high was how to do an outline. Pick out the major points, Roman numerals and capital letters and small letters, and how you kind of put things into place so you can go through and understand more cohesively what's taking place. In industry or in the working world, you know, you use spreadsheets and a project file that helps you understand where you begin a project and where it ends and what the key attributes and key issues are as you feed these items in that have to take place and be done. That's what's taking here in a very rudimentary way with both Peter and with Cornelius, because Peter is kind of outlining, putting these details down that Peter would be clear to Cornelius and his family, his kinsmen, his relatives, and his near friends. It was important to Cornelius. Cornelius wasn't just there alone. He didn't say, hey, I've got a visitor here from Joppa. His name's Peter. I'll meet with him in a separate room. Get on with life. No, it was important to him that he would share it because he had received this directive. He was following through on his part. And on the other hand, Peter had received his directive, and he was following through as well. Interesting that Peter accepted the Roman centurion into his house, but also for the centurion Cornelius to realize the need for all to hear the word of salvation. What is the synopsis, verse 38 through verse 43? Well, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What? Doing good? Opposite of that, doing bad. There are people that do bad today. Healing those that were oppressed. God was with him. And Peter admits, and Peter shares, and it's a collective we. Peter said, we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of Jews, of the Jews, and in Jerusalem. But they killed and hanged him on a tree. Miracle of the cross. It's what we consider in the, especially in the Sundays following the resurrection, the miracle of the cross, the witness of Jesus Christ, the appearances of Jesus Christ, the confirmation of his resurrection before he returned unto his Father. Him God raised up on the third day, as he had promised, and showed him openly. It wasn't something that was hidden. He showed him openly. There's some things we in our personality or our situation kind of hold close to ourselves. We don't show it openly. We keep it more privately versus publicly. In this case, it's something that was very publicly presented and shown openly. God the Father wanted his disciple, Jesus Christ's disciples, to know and to be sure that this is the same Jesus which was hanged upon the tree, who hanged upon the tree, died upon the cross, was put in the grave, and was resurrected. The appearances that are cataloged for us in the Gospels that we have in Scripture. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. I use the word credible witnesses. That's how I think about it. I think in court proceedings there are witnesses and then there are credible witnesses. Credible witness versus a discredited witness, somebody who doesn't know how to tell the truth. Somebody that hangs along that fringe between what's true and what's false. What is right and what's wrong. We can think of a few, can't we? Credible witnesses and those that tell the truth. And here we have witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Peter, I was there. I ate and I drank with him even after he rose again from the dead. We've got a 40-day transition that's taking place. Transition from the old to the new. A transition from the Gospels to the Epistles and the Acts of the Apostles. A transition from that which was known as circumcision in the time of the Lord and previous in the Old Testament, the time of baptism. Transition from the law to the gospel. I mean, all of these transitions are happening at a rapid pace. But in verse 42, Peter's taking it a little more personally. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. You see, the barrier is coming down between the Jew and the Gentile. It is almost completely eradicated in Cornelius' story. Because Cornelius was in the presence of God to listen and to hear everything the Lord had commanded Peter to tell him. God doesn't show favoritism. Accept every nation whose fear and do what is right. You see, we know the message. We know the drill. We've heard the story. And it's important for us to tell the story throughout our lives and in our lives. Because we, in part, are witnesses of him. The good news of what? Of peace through faith in Jesus Christ. God raised him up on the third day. Two witnesses, credible witnesses, to preach and to testify that everyone who believes in him should receive forgiveness of sins through his name, which is the key to the chapter in verse 43. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Two words here, key is to believe and receive. But it's always involved God's people. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. God's word, the power of the Spirit, confession of need, receipt of the gospel, and belief of the word. Sermons don't have to be long, do they? Sometimes they can be very short, but very involved or very impacting. And so when Peter spoke these words, the Spirit fell on all those which heard the word. The preaching of the word, Book of Acts, preaching of the word, the empowerment of the Spirit, and baptism. Three key attributes. Three key attributes. And all of the conversions in the book of Acts. All three, maybe a different sequence, but all three are there. You see, we oftentimes place a lot of preference or thought on where we've come from or our family heritage. That's good. Good to know where we've come from and who we are. It involves all people. You know, today there's modern DNA testing that can tell each one of us our ethnic background, where we've come from, who we are. Can be interesting. Interesting for us, interesting for our siblings, interesting for our spouses, interesting for our children, but that's the beginning point, not the end. Amazing what science can do today. In cataloging and helping us understand that. But it sometimes also opens a panorama of the door to make us, allow us to see other people and understand other people more, understand other people better. They were astonished. Remember, the Jewish people were a very small segment of the known world of that time. You know, we see a lot of interwoven ethnicity today. Multiple backgrounds and roots that we have. But yet here was, you know, a real point of division between Jews and Gentiles. Not anymore. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Because those that were there all heard the message. Because there were a bunch of Jewish people, circumcision, who came with Peter. As many as came with Peter. Because from now on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Cause for pause. Made them think. Made them realize. But also gave them courage to go out and go beyond. Beyond their comfort zone, beyond their known world. I mean, the Apostle Paul was probably the preeminent missionary of that time that was willing to plod the dusty roads of Palestine all the way to Rome, back and forth on his donkey, on his feet, in a cart, on ship, whatever it took. He was the ultimate example of what Acts was all about. But see, each one had a different slice of responsibility. Peter and Philip and Paul, as well as the other disciples when they were sent. But they were astonished because the Spirit had been poured out upon, in this case, the Italians. In this case, the centurion and his family. Because there was evidence that the Spirit was poured out because they had received the gospel. They heard them speak with other languages and magnify God the Father. King James used the term tongues, and I think that's been misinterpreted, misunderstood, and misapplied. They spoke in languages that they would be able to understand. Went beyond the barrier of language. They received and they believed and magnified, glorified God. And so Peter now, because remember they heard the word, they received the Spirit. Now in verse 47, they were baptized. Can any man forbid water that those should not be baptized which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? Give me a reason why not. Many times we look for a reason why versus a reason why not. It has to do with the circumstances or situational. And Peter wanted them to concur with his assessment. Why should we forbid baptism to those who have received the Holy Spirit and believe the word even as we have? Good question. And I think the answer is no. No, we can't forbid that from taking place. Just as we know when someone asks to be baptized, we are duty-bound, convicted by the word to do so. For a child, especially for an infant, and you know, for an adult, we ask the questions of do they believe and have they received, then they're baptized. But infants, as the prime example of faith, lack of committed sin, having original sin, are baptized as we practice and as we believe as a church. And thus Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Directed them. It's time to do this because they are now a part of the church, even as Peter and those who were of the circumcision already were. Oftentimes neglected in reading this is the last line of this entire chapter. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Okay, we wrapped it up. Let's head home. Let's go back to Jerusalem. No. Hey, let's stay together. Let's commune. Let's spend some time together. That's important. Part of a binding process when we spend time together, when we go visit someone, we are able to do that. When we travel as we were in Florida, as Clark and Sue were in Florida, we get some time together with others, tarry certain days, be able to talk, develop relationships, share things, work them out, whatever it might happen to be. They prayed him to tarry certain days. Don't rush home. You know, we've often said that, haven't we? Stick around for a while. Let's not be in a hurry. Let's talk a bit. That's what was taking place here. That was part of this building of community, as we know the Acts of the Apostles is very much an example of building community, even as we would build community throughout our lives. And, you know, our church group and our families and our community and the social structures we're a part of. Very rarely are they concentric circles. In some cases they are, where everybody, you know, goes to the same church and works together and their families are one. That's much more unusual. There's some overlap usually, but by and large there are different circles of acquaintances and circles of people. And thus they wanted to pull it together. They asked them to hang around. Jesus had commanded baptism that those who believed would receive it in Jesus' name. The keys to it all, as we read of conversion throughout the book of Acts, as we go forward, ascension on Thursday, we move forward into the day of Pentecost, into the following day, the ordinary times, as we catalog it on the church calendar, the 8 Sundays following Pentecost, but just to consider what took place and where the gospel went and how it was, how it transpired, how it unfolded, even as we know it unfolds throughout our time and throughout our generation. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we depart, we ask your presence with us by your Spirit. Guide us in the days ahead. Strengthen us with resolve in those things which we are to do and which we are to not to reject as standing in opposition to the ways and the teachings of the Lord. And we remember those who are in need. Remember those that are ill, those who are recovering for the many circumstances that we are or we find in our lives that we are to touch and we are to reach out under the power of your Spirit. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, world without end. Amen.